out of the way here and welcome everyone to Citizens Climate University tonight. You are in luck. Tonight we have the chance to learn hot off the press. The 2017 June meeting analysis is going to be presented by our one and only Dr. Danny Richter. Danny has earned his PhD in oceanography from the Scripps Institute and has since become the fixture in DC as Citizens Climate Lobby's legislative and science director. And in that capacity, he has been involved in creating all of these reports throughout the years. This one is perhaps one of the highlights for all of our years. Tonight's agenda is going to be pretty simple. We'll go over the learning goals first, though. Hopefully after the end of the lesson, we'll have the chance to have all attendees understand the process behind how this analysis has been created, as well as its limitations and strengths. We'll also really jump into utilizing an associated top topics tool. There's a tongue twister for you, which really is wonderful work in community that highlights all of the different topics and a quick blurb or associated resources for each of those. And then Danny is also going to be able to really go over how to communicate the key findings in our meetings with Congress and the larger public. So with that, I'll pass it over to you, Danny, to go over our agenda and jump right in.
All right. Thank you very much, Brett. Thank you, everybody who's on the call, taking the time out of your busy lives to learn a bit about this and prepare yourself to use this in your meetings with your members of Congress. So this is the agenda for me tonight. I'll first cover how this work was done. I'll then cover what the top three issues were for Democrats and Republicans and what our response, our best response is to those concerns. I'll then talk about the way I assessed the engagement of Republican offices that we met with, and then I'll go over all the topics that I tracked and some of the interpretation there. And as Brett mentioned, we'll talk about the top topics tool, which is available to all of you on CCL community. So how was this work done? As with the previous times that I've done the reading of the June notes, there are three stages of analysis. The first stage is centralization and simplification. So what I do here is I have Tony Cerna take all the meeting notes, which you submit very promptly on lobby day, and he takes those and he dumps them into a spreadsheet for me. And then I have the interns that I happen to have working with me over the summer. In this case, it happened to be Isabel Rose and Matthew Salton. So a little acknowledgement to them there at the bottom. And then what they do is they read through those notes. They take out things that are not super relevant to my analysis. For example, a description of the room or the where the staffer went to college. That actually may be very useful to you, but it is not relevant for my analysis. So I have them just take that out so I don't have to read it. And then they're also taking out certain information like who the staffer was, what their rank was, and putting that in another column. So that's the centralization and simplification stage. The second stage, this is where I actually get involved, and that's a careful reading of the notes, a category determination. So what are the different categories that are worth tracking? And then counting which topics come up and what is the context in which they're coming up. And it's important to note there, when I'm counting, I'm only counting when a member of Congress or a member of their staff brings it up. I don't count it if I only see CCLers bringing this up. So there are a lot of times where a topic will come up, but if it's clear that it was coming up from CCLers and not the office staff, I won't count it. And if it's not clear where it's coming from, then even if it was in reality brought up by a staffer, I play it conservative and I don't count it. And then after I've gone through all that careful reading, category determination, and counting, the final stage is the analysis. So that second stage takes me about, first stage takes 1 to 2 months, the second stage takes 2 to 3 months, and the analysis is relatively quick by comparison. And so what does this look like? Well, this is an example of the spreadsheet that I'm I'm working in, and you can see some of the data that we include. So we have Lisa Murkowski there. She's a Republican. We had one meeting. She's on the Energy, the Environment and Public Works Committee. That's what that E stands for. The staff we met with, the report number. I do have my interns pull out what the ask was, and then if there's any follow-up going on. So that's what I'm pulling out. And then in the careful analysis stage, the way I track that is with these little numbers. So this is what I'm staring at for, you know, 2-3 months. It's very super interesting, as you can see. But across the top, in the top column, I have the different topics which I'm covering. What I've circled there at the left, tier 1, 2, 3, active, passive, jaded, those are assessing engagement. The tiers, that's for Republican offices. Active, passive, jaded, that's for Democratic offices. This is the most subjective part of the notes because it's based on my reading of your notes. And what I'm trying to determine is, are we able to have a good conversation with this office? Or are they unable to have a good conversation with us for one reason or another? I'm just assessing how much we're able to have a good conversation, not whether they like the policy, not whether they dislike it, just are we able to connect as humans and understand each other. And then as you move across, you see various numbers. And so I've highlighted here the 2 under low income. That indicates that there was a question asked by this office. So this office, they asked a question about how our policy would affect low-income households. And then if you go further to the right, I've circled a 1. That is a concern. So this office had a concern about pollution or the health impacts of climate change. And then the other things I'll track, 3 is a suggested focus. So they're saying, you know, you guys should really focus on this aspect, like administrative costs. 4 would be interest. So I'm interested in energy and consumer costs. And then 5 is the context is unclear, or it's something else. Most often if it's something else, it's just a statement of fact. So the word tax is a problem. That would be a statement of fact. So some notes of caution. So all these meeting notes, the notes that you submitted, they varied in the level of detail, and also note that how long a meeting was, that also varied. So typically we had half hour meetings, but we had some meetings which were hallway meetings, which were much shorter. And there were a couple instances where meetings were much longer. And the amount of detail you can capture in a 5-minute meeting versus a half hour meeting is very different. So not all of this is the same. And the quality of notes was variable. Some of our note takers are able to catch more than others, but I will say that it was much improved. Just how long it took me this year to read it, people are writing a lot more. And it's not just that the note takers are writing more, but they're including more detail. So you guys are definitely getting better at doing what we ask you to, and you're picking up on things in these meetings that are much more subtle than has been the case in years past. That means that I have to spend more time on this, but I don't mind that at all because it means that the review that we get every year is going to be that much better. Another thing that's important about here is there's no review of my work. I am really the only person who is reading all these notes and who's doing this analysis, and that is not ideal. Part of the reason why we don't have anybody else to do that is because we can't find anybody else to spend, however many months and however many hours it takes me to do this. But the other reason, of course, is that these notes are highly sensitive. These are your meetings with your members of Congress, and you all know that CCL treats those with a high degree of confidentiality and respect, both for you and for the members of Congress. Another thing to bear in mind is that this reading through lobby meetings notes was not covered in my physical oceanography class or my biological oceanography class or even my dynamic meteorology class. This is not how I was trained. And while I do have, training in dispassionate analysis, this is a methodology that I pretty much made up. So I certainly did my best, but you should take all these results with the appropriate grains of salt. So now what I'm going to be talking about is the two-pager that you're all going to be getting, and it's been released. I believe that once this is up on CCL Community, you should be able to download it from there. And as Brett covered earlier, there will be plenty of copies for those of you who are coming to DC. So this two-pager has three sections. I'll go over what's in each of those sections. While you can have a look at this and peruse it now, and you're here, so clearly you're interested in that, and that's great. We would ask that you not share this outside of CCL, particularly with the media, until we shared this with Congress, and that's on November 14th. And the reason for that is that we would like to make as big a splash with this as possible. And if we combine this with all the meetings that we're going to have on Capitol Hill, the analysis is pretty unique. And of course, you all visiting DC in November, that's pretty unique. So it'll just be a bigger splash. So please do take this, share it with others in CCL, just avoid sharing it with the media. The other element there is we do like to, say to Congress, this is the first time anybody is seeing this. And if we share it with the media, that's not as true. Another thing to bear in mind is that no one else has anything remotely close to this. Not on this topic, not on any topic. There is just, first of all, nobody has 501 meetings with 501 different offices on Capitol Hill in a day. Nobody. Second of all, however meetings they do have, they're not taking the time to go through those meetings and count every topic that's come up and whether it's brought up as a concern, a question, a suggested focus, an interest, or something else. They're just not taking that time. And even though they're not doing all that, they sure as heck aren't sharing it then again with Congress. So everything, every stage of this is just incredible. But it starts with you, and it starts with you getting the meetings for June and paying your own way to stay at the conference and really do something which is pretty remarkable. So I just want to emphasize that. I don't think that I can really emphasize this too much, just how unique this is in DC. It blows people's minds. So this first chart, you've seen it, you have a chance to study it. This is the first section in that sheet. And these are the top concerns for carbon fee and dividend for both Republicans and for Democrats. And the top three concerns raised by a Republican were the Climate Solutions Caucus, or CSC, jobs, and the border. For Democratic offices, they were the Climate Solutions Caucus, the Paris Agreement, and specifically the Trump's pullout of the Paris Agreement, and jobs. Jobs was actually tied with the dividend, both being mentioned in 43 Democratic offices. So what we're asking you to do, what follows on this sheet is our suggested response to you. So the way you would use this in your meeting is you would show them this sheet and you would say, we had 501 meetings on Capitol Hill in June. We counted what topics came up. These are the top topics for Democrats and Republicans. Now we'd like to respond to the concerns you and your colleagues raised on these top issues for Democrats and Republicans. And here's something that I provided. This is exactly as it is on the sheet. And these are designed for you to just read and in the context of your meeting. So as always with CCL, it's better if you don't just read it, if you practice it and internalize it so that it's much more natural and in the flow of a conversation. But if you do need to read it, it's right here for you to do. And so with the Climate Solutions Caucus, we're very excited about the widespread and bipartisan interest in the Climate Solutions Caucus. We hope that you will contact Representatives Curbelo for Republicans or Representative Deutsch for Democrats about joining, or with your ideas for what role it should play. Remember, over 10% of Congress is now in the Climate Solutions Caucus. And so that second one is really important. That means better than 1 out of 10 members of Congress is already in the caucus. So when we're meeting with them, We don't want to ask them to join, but we do want to ask them to share their ideas with the chairman for what role this could play. The next most frequently brought up topic was Paris, and this is specifically Trump's pullout of the Paris Agreement. And what you can say here is that CCL, we were troubled by President Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement. We're hopeful that he will choose to re-enter the agreement to reclaim America's place at the bargaining table. Now, what we're trying to do here is we're just trying to state the obvious, that a group called Citizens Climate Lobby is not going to be happy about pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement. But we're also going to touch on CCL's characteristic optimism that we can rejoin. President Trump could rejoin the Paris Agreement. It takes 4 years to formally and fully withdraw, so he could choose to re-enter this. And then there were many Republicans who advised President Trump against leaving this. And so, and the argument that they frequently raised was that this would be retreating from America's role of leadership. So reclaiming our position of leadership at the bargaining table, that's echoing what many Republicans said, expressing concern for President Trump leaving that. The third most frequently brought up topic was jobs. And this is the first one that really bears directly on carbon fee and dividend. And so for this one, the response is carbon fee and dividend is projected to create 2.8 million jobs in 20 years. The larger sectors of job growth include healthcare, retail, accommodation and food services, and construction. So this is directly from the REMI study. It remains a key tool in our education. And I'm already looking into developing more tools on jobs because that does bear directly on our policy. And I think we have some really good responses there. The next most frequently brought up topic was the dividend. And in this, offices were typically asking questions about dividend administration. How would we do this? CCL has a study on this from a retired economist at the Office of Tax Analysis at the U.S. Treasury, and his work is the topic of Friday's briefings. So remember, this is an education day. We're here to educate them about our findings, but then we also, the ask is to attend these briefings. We have a briefing booked in the Senate at 10 a.m. and in the House at 1 p.m. on Friday the 17th. So the fact that this dividend was a top topic, this is a perfect segue into the main ask for these meetings, which is to attend those briefings. And then finally, the border. This topic does include not just how would our border adjustment work, but mentions of China or India, our competitiveness, and the World Trade Organization. But in the most frequent way that it was brought up, this is the best response. 8 out of the 10 largest economies in the world have a carbon price, a fee, tax, or cap planned or already in place. The two exceptions are India, which recently doubled its tax on coal, and the United States. So this sends a strong signal to the core of these concerns that we're going to be left alone. Well, we're not going to be left alone. Most of the world is already doing this. We're one of the exceptions, and the other one is India. And while they don't have a carbon tax or a carbon cap, they are taxing coal. And their president, Narendra Modi, recently actually doubled that tax on coal. So the rest of the world is acting, and most of our biggest trading partners would already be doing this, and they would be excited that we're doing this. So that's the strong signal that we're trying to send there. All right. Thank you, Brett. So the second section that will be on this one-pager is assessing engagement. And here's a table summarizing data from the 2014 assessment I did, the 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017 assessments that I did. And looking at this table, this is for Republicans only. And you can see in that leftmost column the total number of Republicans that we met with. And then going from left to right, tier 1, 2, 3, NR is no ranking. So if the notes were incomplete and I couldn't get a good read off of them, I didn't give them a ranking. I didn't force it. And then the ratio. The ratio is just tier 1 meetings divided by tier 3 ratings. And what you notice the difference here between a tier one office. A tier one office is an office where we're able to have a productive conversation. They're asking good questions. They're clearly interested. That's tier one. Tier two offices are where it's kind of hard to get a read. They might be a clammed up staffer, and they're just not saying that much. But it's not like they're itching to get us out of there. Tier three, they're clearly hostile to us being there. They can't wait for us to get out of there. They're asking gotcha questions. So tier three is what we don't want. And so what you do when you divide tier one by tier three, and that number, the larger the number, the more meetings we're having in tier one relative to tier three. So if you go back to 2014, another way to read that ratio is we were having three tier one meetings for every one tier three meeting we had. In 2015, we were having six tier one meetings for every one tier three meeting we had. In 2016, it was an unbelievable 10 tier one meetings for every one tier three meeting we were having. And this year, it was an even more unbelievable 21 tier one meetings for every one tier three meeting. This is a really great result. Another thing that I'll point out here, I said earlier, you guys are getting much better at taking notes. And you can see that in that no ranking, the NR column. You can see there were 45 places where I didn't provide a ranking in 2014, and that's dropped to 13. You can see a gradual decrease over time. And that's because you guys are getting so much better at taking notes. Another way of thinking about this is basically, can we have a good conversation with this office, an honest exchange of ideas? Can we connect with them as individuals? I do like to caution you, and I recommend you caution the office when reading this, that this is the most subjective result of this whole entire report. I'm interpreting what you're writing about a meeting you're having. So there's a little bit of telephone going on here. Nonetheless, it is a good faith effort. I'm doing my best to do this, and it's one person who has made all of these determinations, and that lends a certain consistency to it. So that should make you feel a little bit better. Again, this is Republicans only, and it's 20 times as many offices we're clearly interested as we're not. And another thing really important, this is a really strong validation of the CCL methodology. Going into the offices with appreciation and respect year after year, they learn that they have nothing to fear about you, that they can have good conversations with us, and we're going to be well-informed, appreciative, respectful. So this is a huge validation of the CCL methodology. The third section of this two-pager that you're going to have has to do, the highlight is in that green box, and that is that in 2017, CCL had a representative or a senator in 23% of our meetings, almost one in four. So that means in 501 meetings, member of Congress was in 23%. In previous years, it had only been 8 to 10%. So this is a doubling, more than a doubling of the meetings where in the past where we had members of Congress in there. Now, a couple of things about this. I'm counting, even if the member just pops in for a hot second and all he does is shake your hands, that counts. But that also counted in 2016 and 2015 and 2014. So we've been consistent in the way we're doing these analyses. And most of those meetings, they are only popping in for 5 to 10 minutes. A couple, they are staying for the whole time. But we've been consistent throughout the years. And so there's a question, why are we seeing so many members of Congress than we have been in years past? My guess is, I think that I'm going to go to the top topic, and that's the caucus. Remember, these are only topics that I'm counting when a staffer or a member of Congress substantively picks up on what you were saying. So last year, there were a lot of times where you would bring up the caucus, and somebody would say there would just be nothing about the staffer response. So they just wouldn't respond. Or they would say, I'm not interested. So I wouldn't count that. That's not something I can count. But this year they were substantively commenting on that, saying, oh, I'm interested. Or, oh, I want to tell me more about that. Or what is this caucus thing about? So for me, I think that's the biggest reason why we've seen that jump, is because members of Congress are interested in the caucus. They see this as politically interesting, and they see very clearly that CCL is the organization that made that happen and who can help them get on or answer their questions about it. So the third bullet point here, in 412 out of 501 meetings, you guys were able to record the rank of the staffer that you were meeting with. So a legislative assistant, a legislative correspondent, chief of staff, legislative director, in 412 of those meetings. And so that is much better than we've been able to do in years past. And what we found is that in 14% of the meetings that you're having, a chief of staff or legislative director was present. And there's a breakdown. This is interesting. We actually had a chief of staff or legislative director present in 15% of our meetings with Republicans, but only 12% in meetings with Democratic offices. So that's a bit counter to what you might expect. This is significant because chief of staff and legislative director, they're higher ranking. And so if you are meeting with higher ranking staffers, that suggests a higher level of seriousness and that the office it has towards you and towards CCL. So getting a higher percentage of legislative directors and LDs, that's a really good thing. This is the first year we've really had complete enough data to make this determination, but that's something that we're going to be looking at moving forward just to see, are we climbing up that ladder and having a higher percentage of member of Congress meetings and a higher percentage of chief of staff or legislative director meetings. Finally, we're going to go to the top topics tool. So for those of you who have been in meetings in the past, will remember that this third section used to be a table with all the topics that came up in at least 5% of meetings, so 1 in 20 meetings. That's not in there. And this time, again, we got feedback that people very rarely got past that first section. And that result of 23% of our meetings having a member of Congress, that's pretty exciting. So we bumped that. But you still have access to that data here at the top topics tool. If you want to find out where to find this on community, it's here at the bottom. The link is at the bottom. So you can just type that into your browser and you can go to community and find it. So now this is the fourth time I've done this analysis. I'm actually getting better at it as we go along through time. So in 2014, I only tracked 20 topics. In 2015, I tracked 36 topics. In 2016, 47. This year, I was keeping an eye out for 65 different topics in these notes. And that goes back to the, if you remember back to one of the very early slides, the second stage is centralization and topic determination. And so I tried to do that beforehand. As my interns are doing this, I'm reading some of them and I'm asking them to figure out what are the topics that are coming up to see, should we add something new? And so what you saw there on the right was what the topics are and how frequently they came up. So this is actually from last year. So it's been updated. Jobs actually came up in 22% of meetings, not 15. But if you click on any one of those, what'll drop down is this. So you'll see the resources that CCL has existing that will help you address this question. So here you have Laser Talk job results, Laser Talk jobs, fossil fuels versus renewables. So those are links to Laser Talks. And if you click on them, it'll take you directly to that link so you can study up. And then you also have a couple of graphs here from the REMI report covering total employment by regions, and then a graph which is kind of buried in the REMI report, but it shows that lower income folks actually get the most jobs as a result of our policy. So, and we have this for all of these top topics that came up in at least 5% of meetings. So what we're doing here is we're making it really easy for you to study up on who your member of Congress is, and then to be connected just basically instantly with the existing CCL resources that will help you prepare. So how are you going to find it? How are you going to know who your member of Congress is? Well, on this sheet, there's a hyperlink meeting topic spreadsheet. If you click on that, it'll take you to this next spreadsheet. And this is a bit overwhelming, so let me orient you to this. This is going to allow you to see all 65 topics that I tracked and who brought them out most. And the colors that you're looking at here, Darker blues mean fewer mentions. So you can see under the column EPW, there's a very dark blue. It's got a 0% in there. Nobody on the Environment and Public Works Committee brought up the border. Darker reds mean more mentions. So you can see at the top, you have over 50% of Congress as a whole, 58% of the House, 51% of the Senate is bringing up the Climate Solutions Caucus. And here I set the midpoint as 10%. So 10% is color white, and you get darker shades, pinks, and then reds as you get more mentions. You get lighter blues and then down to dark blue as you have more mentions. Next slide. And then working across the top in the columns, you have the total number of mentions. You have all of Congress. You have the House. You have the Senate. You have Republicans. You have Democrats. WM is Ways and Means. EC is Energy and Commerce. FIN is Finance Committee. EPW is Environment and Public Works. And ENR is Energy and Natural Resources. These are the possible committees of jurisdiction for looking at carbon fee and dividend. So how are you going to use this? Let's say that you are going to meet with your senator, and you know that your senator is on the Environment and Public Works Committee. Well, you go to this tool in CCL Community, you could go to this spreadsheet, and you could look at, all right, my member's on Environment and Public Works. What are the things that I'm going to look up? As you're scrolling down, you're going to see that, one out of four members of the Environment Public Works Committee talked about the dividend, and they talked about the CLC, the Climate Leadership Council. I better read up on those. You also read that none of them brought up the border. So you say, okay, phew, I don't have to listen to those webinars. I don't have to read up on those laser talks. It's very unlikely that they're going to care about the border. And then you go down. There's also 25% under ocean. That's interesting. So the Environment and Public Works Committee members are more likely than Congress as a whole to ask a question or bring up the ocean. So maybe I should come prepared with some talking points on the ocean. So that's what this tool is. That's how we hope we'll use it. We'll hope you use it to really do some research in advance. Of course, you know what your member of Congress is likely to bring up because you've been meeting with them for sometimes years now. And so you can use this tool to directly connect yourself to the existing CCL resources about this. 2017 is only the second time that we've shared this level of data with you, but we're very excited about it. And again, basically, this is cliff notes for your meeting. We're trying to make it easy for you to study and prepare and have success in your meetings with your members of Congress. And we hope this tool makes your preparation more complete, more useful, more specific, and in less time, because we know you're all volunteers, and we appreciate every minute that you give to CCL and becoming better at what you're doing.
So I know we're at the top of the hour. I'm actually going to, at this point, pivot to just showing where we can find the lesson after this. If anyone does have any follow-up questions after tonight's lesson, but it's just Danny at Citizens Climate, or you can email me at brett@citizensclimate.org. And at this point, tomorrow, as somewhere around midday, you should expect to be able to find, if you go to the home site of the Learning Center, it's just community.citizensclimatelobby.org/learn, or click that Learn button up top. Under this middle column of recent training, you can always find the most recent 10 CCU lessons. So we'd love for you to be able to kind of find the archived version and share this with anyone else that's coming to Congressional Education Day or that would also be interested in finding out how to use the tool. So with that, on behalf of everyone on the call, this has been our most well-attended call actually since June. So thank you for being a part of that. We can see who the rock star is truly on CCL's cadre of staff.
Take that, Ellie.
We are so grateful. I'm going to unmute all lines and so excited to see everyone, obviously, in just a little bit in DC for November.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Information.